not ready for the test yet, but we're going to see a couple of ladies whose world was rocked, was shaken, because of tragedy in their lives, and we're going to see that it is sweet to trust in Jesus, because when he arrives on the scene, and he is on scene with each one of us, everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
So the purpose of tonight's message is to call us and to challenge us to believe and trust in Jesus in the midst of trying circumstances. You know, as well as I do, it can be relatively easy to trust Christ when everything's going well. But when the bottom falls out, it gets really difficult. Tonight we're going to look at a passage concerning the death of a man named Lazarus. I've been assigned that by James. This is the third message in the series. The fourth message will be the concluding message next week with Pastor James. But tonight we're looking at a passage where a man and his family, who were close friends of Jesus, encounter tragedy. And Jesus is close to them. In fact, he loves this family. And I want to say to you tonight, no matter what you're going through, he loves you as well. May that encourage you. And Jesus, at the beginning of John chapter 11, learns Lazarus, his friend, is sick. And he tells his disciples, this sickness will not end in death, which is a little weird because it does end in death. But Jesus shows up and raises him to life. But Jesus goes on to say in verse 4 of John chapter 11, no, it's not, for it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So if you're going through some trials tonight, we've already listened to one, you teach up. And my heart goes out to them, and I know yours does as well. I don't know why they're dealing with this. But God's at work in the midst of it. He's at work in the midst of their suffering. He wants to increase their trust and their faith in him. And he wants to bring glory to himself through this. He may be healed, he may not. It's not a matter of faith. One of the most horrendous teachings that I've heard is where people don't have enough faith and then they die. A pastor friend of mine in Frankfurt, his brother-in-law passed away from cancer. You know, people at the funeral said, well, if he just had enough faith, he would be alive. That's a dreadful heresy. So, but people do die. And so we're going to look at this situation tonight. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17 where Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. And hopefully we'll see Jesus is the one we must trust. Therefore, tonight in this message is the truth to believe. A truth to believe in the midst of pain and suffering. Jesus is not only our Savior and our Lord, but our friend. And he must be the one we trust. Who we trust, in fact, is the title of tonight's message. But let me begin reading in John, verse 17. On his arrival, he came to Bethany, the town of Bethany. Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man blind? Let's pray. Precious God, please open our eyes to the precious truth of your word this evening. May your word encourage us and comfort us and give us hope in the midst of sometimes overwhelming circumstances and challenges we face. And may we trust in your goodness and grace. And may that trust increase. And remind us, please, Lord, that you are at work in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our pain. And these challenges are, as the Apostle Paul observed, the all things that work together for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, continuing with the introduction, here's a question, a good question. Can we as God's people trust him in times of trouble, or will we believe even that he's disappointed us or disappointed us? When these things happen, and they will, can we still trust in him? And of course, we know, you know as well as I do, we all go through seasons where we face suffering, where we face trials, and yes, sometimes even we're bad. What's likely the oldest book in the Bible, which speaks about a man richly blessed by God and then loses virtually everything. Job writes this truth in chapter 5, verse 7. Yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Ever seen a welding operation? You have. Where do the sparks go? They go upward. It happens every time. And just as that happens every time, trouble is going to invade our lives. You may be in the midst of it right now. I don't know. But I've got good news for you. That good news is found in the person, the Savior of the world, Lord of heaven and earth, and our friend who comes alongside of us and suffers with us. But we are born in trouble, and it can all be traced back to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, where when tempted, the first Adam stumbled into sin. But again, I'm here to declare to you this evening, that the presence of Jesus, who as the second Adam did not stumble, did not sin, the presence of Jesus, who is not only our Lord and our Savior, but our friend, can and does make all the difference in the world as to how we as God's people deal with trying and traumatic situations, how we deal with disappointment, and how we deal with suffering. You know, Jesus one time spoke to his disciples and he said to them, in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart and be of good cheer, it says in the translation. I have overcome the world, John 16, verse 33. Notice in that verse where peace is found in the midst of trouble. Jesus said it's in me. And notice where trouble is found. It's in the world. Peace is in Jesus, even while trouble is in this world. And hold on to that truth, because if you don't need it tonight, you will. And that peace that's found in Jesus while trouble is found in the world, I think we've seen in tonight's text. You see, as I've noted, there's been the death of a close friend of Christ, a person that he loved, and because of that suffering and pain in the lives of two other close friends of his, who were sisters of this man who died, Martha and Mary, Jesus hears about this situation, he learns of it, and after a short time passes for God's own purposes, he travels with his disciples in order to comfort them. When he appears in the town, or near the town, he's not in the town yet, in which they live, Martha learns of his approach and she goes out to meet him. Her sister remains at home. The scripture says. And I want us to notice a couple of answers Jesus gives to those in pain. He gives these answers to Martha and Mary based on their particular needs. And he gives these answers to us tonight so that we can be comforted with the comfort that only Christ can give. So notice the similar questions they ask Jesus and how he responds. And then the answer Jesus gives. First, notice the response to this theological thing. Theology is nothing to be scared of. It simply means the study of God. So responds theologically to suffering. Hear Martha's words. She speaks to Jesus, and then picture the pain and frustration in what she says. She meets him outside of Bethany, and she says, and maybe you've said this before to the Lord in the midst of pain, Lord, if you had been here. Lord, if you had been here. She goes on to say it for us, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Where were you, Jesus? I needed you. You could have prevented this tragedy. Perhaps someone here tonight is asking that same question. I don't know. Probably every one of us can identify with this lady, however. We've lost a loved one. It could be grandparents. It could be a parent. My dad died 2+ years ago. It'll be 3 years in August. Some have lost children in this room and have suffered other kinds of loss. Some are dealing with physical problems, maybe other kinds of problems, and it's not making any sense. And you've got a lot of unanswered questions. While each experience of grief is one of a kind, each trial is different. We've all suffered with a kind of pain that we would recognize that this isn't anything I signed up for. I thought about that, I don't know how many times. I never signed up for this. But here I am. And here we are. And what? Well, we know, like Martha, that this is the world of pain. Someone has called this world in which we go through a veil of tears. Anybody identify with that? The veil of tears. There's some great times and some fun times and what we eat or whatever. I think the reality set back in. You can be in the doctor's office, you go back to the door, family members, and someone that you really love, and instead of pain and suffering and what have you. But where were you, Jesus? That was Martha's question. Perfectly legitimate question. Perfectly legitimate question for us to ask here tonight. After all, she no doubt knew that Jesus healed the multitudes. She probably heard that, you know, he spent a lot of time at her house, okay? And she heard the reports. And he probably knew, for example, that he had healed a child of a royal official who had even sought Jesus out, and he told the man to go back home because your son will live. That's recorded in John 4:46-50. But here that hadn't happened. Jesus had not arrived while Lazarus was sick, and waited until after he had died to get there. Well, what does Jesus say in response to her? He gives her a theological answer in verse 23, and then in verses 25 and 26 of chapter 11, he spoke truth to her. And he said in verse 23, your brother will rise again. It's a good answer. Your brother will rise again, or it's a good statement, I should say. To someone in the midst of pain. That's what the written word of God teaches. And that's what the living word of God was saying to this woman. And Martha knew that. The Jews knew there would be a resurrection at the last day. They knew from Scripture that would happen. And then verse 24, Martha says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. In other words, I know he's going to stand up again, which is what the word resurrection means. Here Martha says, I know that's true, but Jesus, of course, not only has that in mind, I'm sure, but has a more immediate raising in mind. Why he delayed coming when he received the word that Lazarus was sick. So that God would be glorified, that trust would flourish, and the kingdom of God would advance. Because if you go to verse 45, and I'm not going to go there, I'm just going to tell you what it says. Then he saw Jesus raising this brother of Martha and Mary from the dead. And what happened? They believed. They believed. This was a sign, one of several signs that Jesus performed in John's Gospel. Well, of course, as I noted, he was there so that the Lord would be glorified and the purposes of God fulfilled. This is the case in our lives as well, so we've got to trust him. We don't see what the plan is. You know, I never tell anybody when I'm witnessing to him, God has a wonderful plan for your life or anything like that, because that doesn't make sense to me. Well, this is a wonderful plan. You know, I'm in the midst of pure heck right now. has a purpose for what you're going through. And there are several reasons, but certainly one of them is that you'll trust in him. Another one is that you become more like Jesus, his son. That's the goal of all Christian ministry as well. That all of his people become more like the son Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's son. He is the potter. I think that was mentioned in our Bible study down there. And he is molding us, and he is shaping us into something beautiful, into someone beautiful, in order to display to a watching world his glory in the midst of our pain. But here in this moment, I imagine, Jesus looks directly and lovingly into her bloodshot eyes. Martha's eyes are no doubt red from tears that she had been crying. In that moment, his heart goes out to her as it did for a widow whose son had died and Jesus had earlier raised from the dead. Luke records that. And I imagine Jesus says, Martha, you need to trust me right now. We are not going to wait till the last day to do something about your pain, although we know God doesn't always do something immediately, does he? But you're not going to have to wait, Martha. Because verse 24, here, 25 rather, and 26, here's some more theological truth for you that you need to believe, truth to believe. I am the resurrection and the life. She's looking into the eyes at that moment of the one who is the resurrection from the dead. She's looking into the eyes of the one who is that moment, life itself, the giver of life, the author of life, eternal life, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they died. Lazarus died believing in Jesus. In verse 26, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. What an awesome truth to believe. And truth to receive. Then he ends this great theological statement with a question for her that made a hopeful difference in her life that day, and it can make a hope-filled difference in your life as well. You know what Jesus asked her? Do you, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? She replied, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah. That's the Christ, the same word. That means anointed. You are the Messiah, the Son of God who is to come into the world. So she confessed that Jesus is the Christ, God's only begotten Son. She didn't even know what would happen shortly thereafter to her brother after making this great confession of faith, but she trusted an uncertain present and an unseen future to a very real and very present Savior. So the first response to a grieving sister is theological. It was this, the one who is the very embodiment of truth, according to John 14, verse 6, for example, has the power and he has the authority for those who have faith in him to give them spiritual life, which is eternal life, even when they die. That is what he meant in that great hope-filled statement to Martha in the midst of her pain. And Jesus then asked to see Mary. So she goes to tell her sister, the teacher wants to see you. And so there's a lesson for us tonight in this, isn't it? Isn't there? When people are hurting, God may give us an opportunity to speak his word to them, such as this great truth that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I still remember my Uncle Bud's funeral. He died in a vehicle accident many years ago in Minnesota. And we had this service in Wisconsin, which is where he lived. And the casket wasn't even open. It had been such a horrific event. But I still remember to this day, and this has been 20 some years ago, the text the pastor preached on. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And so, it should give tremendous comfort to all. I believe it comforted Martha that day. And then notice the response he makes to Mary, the response of a friend. First, what does the word friend mean? The dictionary defines it this way, a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. Jesus had that kind of bond with this family. What kind of friend was Jesus? Well, he apparently spent considerable time at their home, according to the scriptures. They were close, and though even though Jesus is a friend of sinners and loves this world's people, just like he had a close relationship with Peter, James, and John, he seemed to have a close relationship with this family from Bethany. And I think we need that kind of deep relationships today once again, I think it would help our country, and it would help our world. I listened to a pastor speak in Lafayette several years ago. He'd written a book called Refrigerator Rights. I can't remember his name. And he spoke about that, saying, what he said was, basically, we've lost that in America. And he said, you know, an example of refrigerator rights is if you went into a friend's house, and without even asking them, based on the nature of your relationship with them, you would just open the fridge and get yourself out of water or a Coke. Now, obviously, if I just walked into somebody's house as a stranger, hi, I'm your neighbor, introduced myself, walked in and jumped in the refrigerator, everybody would look at me like, what are you doing? You're crazy, but no, Jesus, I believe, could do that. Now, I get that. They didn't have refrigerators in the first century. I know that. But just to illustrate it, Jesus had that kind of close relationship with this family. And in this part of the text, we see the response of a friend. Mary quickly, the text says, went to see Jesus. She falls at his feet, and notice what she says. Same stuff's been going through her mind for hours, for days. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. John 11, verse 32. Apart from the word Lord, which Martha did not address Jesus as, she says the same exact words as her sister. And as she says those words, she was crying. And I think we've all cried tears in here, haven't we? I remember when my dad, I mentioned earlier, passed away, there were tears. I remember when I went out to Mom and Dad's house for the first time, drove out there and I saw Dad's pickup truck parked in the turnaround for the first time, there were tears and it sank in. The reality of what had happened, finally, it really hit me. It was hard. It was really hard. He was gone. But I'm thankful that he died in Christ, but he was gone. So here is Jesus who sees his friend crying. The text says he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. The phrase deeply moved suggests anger, while the word trouble suggests the stirring up of water, which when used figuratively, likely means our Lord is disturbed and unsettled at the grief and suffering of the sisters and by his own anguish at the death of a close friend. Yes, I know he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but guys, Jesus is not only God, Jesus is fully human. Fully human, yet without sin. He knows exactly what we've gone through. He is the perfect fusing together of humanity and deity. And Jesus says in verse 34, he wants to know where Lazarus is buried. And she says to him, come and see, Lord. Mary says, come and see, Lord. Here we see a poignant picture that we can learn from. We see how Jesus ministers. We can learn from his ministry of friendship and of presence to those who are hurting. We see his humanity. He heard along with his friend. In fact, Jesus really said nothing at all, but what did he do? He cried. He cried. He wept alongside his friend. Here is the one who is the good shepherd, the very embodiment of love, providing a pastoral response to Mary's suffering. His response to Martha was pastoral as well. He tells her to believe and to trust in him, but here we see Jesus step into Mary's suffering. And as he suffers with her, and as he seeks to comfort her, he comes alongside her, not only as her Savior and her Lord, but as her friend. A completely trustworthy friend. And that's what he wants to do with you in the midst of your grief. And that's what how he wants to use his church. Hurting and grieving world out there. He wants to come to us and he wants us to go to them in the midst of their pain and suffer and grieve with them. Based on the particular needs of these two sisters, he provides a theological answer with regard to suffering to Martha, and he gives the answer of a friend to Mary. But to each one of us, this entire world, in fact, he gives the ultimate answer to death, the ultimate answer to violence, the ultimate answer to disease, the ultimate answer to trouble. So let's look at that ultimate answer. What kind of a friend was and is Jesus? Let's go to that great city of Judea, Jerusalem. just outside that city, there was a hill. And on that hill, there was an old rugged cross. And on that cross was a Savior, the Savior and Lord, that came to Martha, declaring his word that echoes down through the centuries. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. On that cross was Jesus, who came to Mary as her friend and wept alongside her. The cross is the ultimate answer, where Jesus lays down his life for his friends. In fact, our Lord said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we're his friends. We call him Lord and Savior. We call him his friend. So let me ask you tonight, as we begin to wrap this message up, do you know this great love? Do you know Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, and as your friend? Have your sins been forgiven through repentance? Repentance means change of mind, change of direction. I'm facing this way. I turn around. For those in the military, you know what about face means. Heal the other direction. Turn away from your sin. To put your faith in Christ. And it is finished work on that cross. The Bible says all have sinned, Romans 3:23. And there's a wage to sin, and that sin's wage is death. But in the midst of that bad news, I am here to tell you tonight, there's some good news. We see God's love in action on the cross. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, stay that way, but that's how you come to him. He demonstrates his own love for us in this, that Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 again. So put your faith in Jesus tonight, if you have him. Scripture says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You can't earn this. You can only receive this. And if you put your faith in Jesus, the Word of God promises you life. Romans 10:9-10, where we read, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, remember talking about the Lordship of Christ, those who made it to the Bible study. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, which he did, you will be saved. What's saved mean? Rescued, delivered from the penalty of sin, which is what? Death. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, that means to be made right before God. There's an alien righteousness that God gives you outside of yourself, and he covers you in that when you come to him and put your faith in him. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so, as the worship team comes up, the cross is the empty tomb are for the Savior of the world overcomes death and sin. And it clearly demonstrates the kind of Savior and Lord Jesus is. The kind of friend Jesus is. Friend of sinners and hope of the world. And loved ones, I'm here to tell you tonight, because of his great love, we can endure our present pain. Let's pray. Lord God, please drive this truth home in our hearts tonight. May we realize not only the theological truth of your word, but rest our very lives on taking you into the word, trusting you, but may we also know that you come alongside us as our friend. And that indeed greater love has no one in this that lay down his life for his friend. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life for us. May we live our lives for you. We ask this in the name that is above every single name, the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.